The Global Latin Factor Podcast.
Welcome, welcome you and all to another episode of the Global Latin Factor Podcast, where we talk about Latino everything. Another amazing episode brought to you today. So thank you. Make sure you go subscribe. All the cameras. You know what to do. Ring the bell, smash the bell, notifications, so you know when a new episode premieres weekly. We got you. And today, a very special individual made it back to the podcast. We have a micro-influencer, digital content creator, CEO of Forever Saucy, and I am Angie Paola. She's a brand ambassador for Revlon and also now a recording artist. Originally from Cartagena, Colombia, she is back and very excited because she has a lot of things going on. We have Angie Paola.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming back.
Had to.
You liked it so much that, you know, we have to do it again.
It was my favorite.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. It means a lot. But I appreciate you taking the time to come here. And can't wait to hear all the exciting things you've been doing and some of the music you've been put out. And we're going to get to all those. But first, we're going to do Preguntas al Chile. We have a 2.0 version because Angie is a is done this before. So we have to do another version. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. Tacos or burritos?
Tacos.
Okay, still the same. Pan or tortilla? Like regular white bread?
Oh, but it depends like what kind of pan and what kind of tortilla, you know? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you have a preference on which
pan
ones?
Pan from Colombia.
Okay, Colombian pan. Fanta or jarritos?
Jarritos.
Okay. We have agua de limón, de sandía, o de piña.
Piña.
You like piña? Have you had an agua fresca before? Do you like them?
Of course. Yeah. But you asked like three ones that I didn't know you were going to ask.
Limón?
Limón is okay, but I like piña.
You like piña? Yeah. Me too. I like piña too. Okay. This was a Colombian one, sancocho de pescado or de gallina?
Gallina.
Gallina. And we have arepas de queso or de huevo?
Oh, it just depends on the day, but I would just say huevo.
Huevo?
Yeah.
And cocadas o manjar?
Manjar.
Manjar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the last time we asked a question about it, but when you first hear the term Latino or Latina, what mm-hmm. comes to mind?
Oh, and I can't say the same thing.
I mean, if you remember what you said last time, do you remember it?
Flavor.
Flavor?
Mm-hmm.
The same thing. Okay.
And spice? That's the same thing.
And everything. Like that. You prefer, if you're called Latina, addressed as Latina, do you prefer to be, whenever they address you, Colombian, or what do you prefer for you?
I think now I really do put emphasis on me being Colombian, like, yeah. And I say it like that and everything because it's important to me. But I also like Latina is cool. Like, it's as long as you know why you're calling me Latina, or, you know, I'm good.
That's pretty cool. Okay. So what was your feedback on your first interview that we did with you? The views are great, by the way, for the amount of subscribers that we have for us.
Yeah, well. And it was like really
and it's still growing, by
recent.
The way.
Yeah, I love it. What was the question again?
With the feedback of the interview.
The feedback. I loved it. A lot of people were like, I learned a lot about you that I didn't know.
Right.
And questions that like I wanted to ask. Like, I had a lot of friends tell me that they just learned so much and they're like, why did I never ask you that? Like, oh my mm-hmm. gosh. So it was cool. As far as like brands, that was really cool because it helped me. It's like in my media kit now. It helps me, like, it helps them know who I am. So I put that in there.
That's cool.
The feedback was great. And it was the quality, I think, that was.
Is there any particular questions that pop into mind that they like thought of asking you, but they didn't because, I don't know, maybe they felt like they were going to offend you? Or
yeah. So like when you asked about my upbringing, uh-huh. I'm so closed off. And that was mentioned in the podcast, like
right.
how open I was being. And I was like, oh my God, you're asking me questions about myself. And I'm so open about business. So when it came to myself, I always like deflect those questions.
Yeah.
And I was just really open. I was really comfortable over here. So it was nice. And I think I just don't give that energy that like, oh, like she's going to tell me or like want to tell me or like I don't want to maybe offend her. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just.
That's pretty cool, though. I mean, because we talked about how, and I'll touch back on this question later, that you're very much business oriented too. So maybe that's the vibe that like it's all business. Nothing
yeah.
personal,
I just don't want to like be seen as weak. Remember, I'm working on it.
That's pretty cool. So any corrections that we said that was not correct that I might have misheard you or anything like that? I know you have mentioned regarding the artists.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't technically manage artists, right? But you manage somewhat of like the shoot. If you're doing a video for a particular artist, you're a manager structure the day as far as what's going to happen, but not actually the artist, right?
Right. So just the project that we're hired for or that we're involved with.
Gotcha. So when I think of management, I think you were managing the artist itself within the label or the company, not that you were just managing that part. And that was my...
Yeah.
I went that way.
Well, the thing is like... I do somewhat do that, like with our project.
Gotcha.
I do kind of, I'm like, I'm on your, you know, but just trying to make sure that you're promoting it, that you're talking about it, that, you know, it makes sense and it's not just a project that is just going to flop or you just did it and you just want to like leave it.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, just that.
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of videographers, you will just show up and shoot or whatever mm-hmm. and be on their way and, you know, they get there for their services and they don't go the extra mile to try to make sure that you don't look a fool
mm-hmm.
and you look a certain way. And that's pretty cool that within your company, you take pride to make sure that the product is done correctly.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty dope. Okay, so how is it, I think you touched up on it a little bit, but how is it as far as still struggling with being yourself? Are you better? Because it's one of the questions.
I would say, yeah, I am. I'm just learning to be a little more honest, a little less guarded. I'm learning to relax. Like, a lot of my friends are always just like, relax. Like, it's cool. Like, it's not that big of a deal. And I'm like,
yeah,
okay. Now I'm okay. But, like, I used to be like, why would you say it's not a big deal, you know, like.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. That's great. That's great that you hear that. And it, you know, it shows maturity as far as your part that certain things are important and we do have to do them accordingly. But certain things you can't create like a storm in a glass of water. Like it's like a term in Spanish that they say, no puede ser una tormenta en un vaso de agua. Like you can't like blow it out of proportion. Yeah, it is important, but like. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's a good. I think I used to do that.
Yeah,
yeah,
like freaking tornadoes and hurricanes happening in a
yeah,
cup.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I had the pleasure of working with you to do the Global Land Factor video with Kilo Artifactor. If you have not seen that video, go check it out. But I know that it wasn't the work that you wanted to do, but for the time that we had for the. As far as the timing to getting out together from making it happen to mm-hmm. having the actual video and editing, I think we did pretty well. I don't know if, how it's on in the level of the things that you enjoy the most that you put out. I don't know where it lands, but for me, I like it very much. Other people that seen it enjoy the video. So
yeah, I did like the feedback on it. I was kind of listening to like what yours would say and what Kilo's would say and what mine would say. It was a great video if like for what happened, like for the time frame for everything being like that video was really
was it 72 hours or 48 hours? It was to shoot everything. It was probably 24 hours, right? Wasn't it?
It was 2 days.
It was 2 days. Mm-hmm. So 48 hours. So we did it in 48 hours.
Yeah. And it was just wild because we were like in the middle of a parade. I mean, we were all like, we all had to think really fast.
Yep.
We didn't like go to script or anything. We were just like, oh, this is happening. We got to move with it. We got to make it happen. We have one shot. We have one chance to do this every time.
Yep. And Kilo did provide us a script, but
yes,
when
he did.
Everything happened, mm-hmm. it started moving too much. It was a lot of moving pieces. Like there was a parade going on. There was lowrider cars. It was in Pleasant Grove in Dallas. So there was a lot of moving pieces, and you know, it's awesome that the whole team was there to shoot everything. We had a drone that I found that we were able to get some of that footage and incorporate it into it. So it was pretty dope. But I appreciate you being professional, and even though it went off the cuff a little bit, we were able to still get it done. So yes. I appreciate you. And Kilo, I think he was very much satisfied with what came out, and I like it.
Yeah, I
still
love
watch it. Jam it.
I do too.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Okay. So you consider yourself, or is that still something that you use as far as the title visual marketing specialist? Mm-hmm. Is that something that you consider? What does it mean to you as far as that title itself?
I know what to do with, I know how to market your visuals.
Uh-huh. So not only do you know how to shoot, but you go a step beyond by being that and able to put it out there so people can get the most visual eyes on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty dope. Okay, so we touched up on something personal that you mentioned earlier, that you used to stay home because, again, I don't know, a lot of Latinos can't relate to this, right? Like, as I mentioned, the same thing for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us, whether we have mom or a dad or both, or just one, a lot of the times they have to go out and work. And it's not surprising for a Latino to be young to stay home by themselves or with your siblings. That's not uncommon.
Right.
At least for me and the people around me, it was very common.
Mm-hmm.
But other people, it might be kind of strange that you leave a minor. But again, a lot of the times we have to do what we got to do to make it happen.
Our story is a little different.
Yeah, absolutely. But a lot of Latinos that are immigrants can relate to that to the T, because it does happen.
Yes.
We're not saying it's okay, but we're just saying that's just the part of the things that, you know, single moms, single dads, or even mom and dad both have to do in order for them to go to work, because a lot of the times babysitters or whatever the case are super expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just part of what happens within our culture. I think it's a culture thing, and, you know, I don't see nothing wrong with it, but I can see why people would see something wrong with it. But irrelevant to that, I thought it was pretty interesting on an article that I seen that you not only stayed and watched movies, but you actually were in the computer and the internet learning some things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What were you learning?
I was just learning how to just graphic design. I learned how to code. I was making like websites at a young age where people could like go and like have like the resources that I have, like graphic resources. I don't know. I was learning like Photoshop, and everything that I do now, I pretty much just learned when I was like little. That's where I got like, once the internet like started, you know, coming out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Once I had access to the internet, that's definitely what I just did. And I just always found a way to get things. Like, I didn't know that like Photoshop like was so expensive back then. I just like was on the internet and like I found like, it was just wild. I just found like links and stuff, and like there was like mock websites that would mock Photoshop. So that's really like what I started on. And then there was like free programs, and then I found Photoshop. And so like I kind of just always like found my way and built on top of that.
Where did you have the want to start navigating and finding those things? Because like internet, you could watch anything or kinds of endless things. What specifically drew you to doing that?
That's wild. When I'm gonna get emotional, but when I was like in grade school, I like got picked on a lot, and I found the internet, and like it was at the time where like Xanga and like MySpace were out, and everyone was like kind of coding their profiles and just finding a way to be unique and like express, like, you know, everybody's profile had to be different. Like you had like the girly girls who were just like, it was pink, and like they had, you know, like stickers and stuff like that. I just went above and beyond after that. Like, I was just like, I want to be different. This is where, like, my voice is. And once I started digging into that, like, one tunnel led to another. And, like, it was just, I learned so much through the internet. Dang, so much.
That's awesome. I don't mean to make it a habit for you every time you get to the
podcast. I know, no, I mean, it's wild. I just, because, like, I put two and two together when I'm here. Like, oh, my God, like, this happened, like, when this was happening.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So you learn all kinds of stuff. You learn Adobe. You learn CSS, HTML, Adobe, Photoshop, video editing. There's an article online, by the way. I gotten better at researching and finding things, so... Last time you were here, we had a little bit of time to prepare, or at least I had a little bit of time, but I appreciate you were here. Mm-hmm. But now I have more time and I had more tools that I can look into. And I found that. And you used to even put things on Flickr for a while, right?
As far as yeah. How do you know that?
That
is wild.
I got better with that. And another fun fact about you actually shot at an NFL Hall of Fame house, correct?
Yes.
Who was it? Can you tell us? Or you're not able to disclose that?
No, I can. I shot at Deion Sanders' house.
Nice. Yes. And that was for a video? For what kind of shoot was that?
It was a chef video for his personal chef, Chef Hoppy. Yeah.
So that's a celebrity chef that you shot for in that house. Mm-hmm. And was he there that day, or it was just the house and
yeah,
the chef?
Believe it or not, it was just supposed to be us, and he like pulled up, like, and we were in the kitchen, and he actually was coming to eat, so like he was like, oh, like I have to get his stuff ready. He like set the table and everything, and I'm like, okay, but like he knows we're here, right? He's like, no, yeah, like what? So we were in the kitchen, and I was like, this was like the table. And I was, like, facing where he would be sitting. And, like, he just comes in and he says, like, hi to everybody. He looked, like, a little stressed. Like, he looked like he was just coming home from work and stuff like that. He sat down and he said his grace and he just ate. And, he said hi to us. It was really nice, but that was it. It was, really, like, short and simple.
That's freaking wild. That is crazy that you were able to do that. Dang, that's crazy. Yeah, that's pretty cool, though.
And it's wild, though, because, like, I don't know anything about football. Like, I know football, but I'm not, like, a big football fan. So when people are like, you shot where? With who? Like, you were right there. I'm like, mm-hmm.
Deion Sanders was right there.
Shook your hands. No, he just said hi. He was like, hey, everybody, like, you know.
It's his house.
Yeah.
Like, it was his chef, though.
That's why still, I was like, if it was my house, I'd be like, okay, this is okay. No, but he was really just like, okay, yeah. And I mean, he really has a good relationship with Chef Hoppy. So,
what was the name of the chef again?
Chef Hoppy.
Hoppy?
Mm-hmm.
Hoppy? Am I saying it right?
Hoppy.
How did that opportunity come about? How did he find you or who?
We actually went to school together.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you for real?
We went to Trinity High School.
So he knew that you did, and he reached out, and y'all got together and shot a video.
Yeah, it started off as a collab thing and a marketing thing, and I was like, you know, you need to market better. And I got him to just really take his Instagram really seriously. Mm. You know, like we would mess around with different things. And now he has it down. I mean, he's like verified on Instagram and he's doing big things.
That's awesome. That's amazing. Okay. So we touched earlier about that you were serious, but business oriented and business mind and being a professional. Well, where does that come from? Where did you pick that up of being that way? Because, you know, one can sometimes go to their job and do their best possible thing, but maybe they don't take it that far to be a professional one, to be business oriented, to even think about a business, especially coming all the way from Cartagena. But where did that come from for you?
I think the airport just really did it for me. Just moving up and having the opportunities to always move up, you know? Made me realize that, like, I'm really passionate about leadership. Because, in a way, it's, like, caring about people. And, like, it's, like, a way of coaching them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think I could just really make a difference that way. A lot of people are at work more than they are at home, you know? So, it's a real big opportunity to mold somebody just to be better if you see better in them. So, really just in my early 20s.
Your early 20s going into the aviation industry kind of sort of made you want to pick it up as far as being more professional, focusing on leadership because you were part of the training team and training the people and realized that they were going to you know, kind of sort of be a reflection of you if you didn't do
absolutely.
The right job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty cool. And I'm sorry to hear about the bullying earlier. I appreciate you sharing because it sucks that it happened, but it's crazy that even though something like that happened to you, it pushed to the things that you know now that you're making your money off of. That you learned because of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I always say, well, not I always say, but I feel like a lot of the times certain bad things happen to you for something else to come out of it.
Absolutely.
But I appreciate you sharing. I'm sorry that it happened, but not really sorry that it happened because it kind of shaped the person that you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty cool that. So all you mean kids, look at her now. She's on a podcast, the Global Life Fact Podcast. We're not number one yet, but we're real close. We're right there. And be like, she was on the number one podcast. What's up? Anyways, moving on. So how is the micro-influencing doing? Are you still focusing strong on it? I know you're doing music. We're going to get to that part. But how is that? Because you are working with different brands. You're still, Revlon, still one of the, you're still an ambassador for them.
Mm-hmm.
Seen Coconut, if I'm not mistaken, that you're working with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know they do. It's hair products. I don't really know too much about them, but I know you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you're still focusing and strongly putting work into?
Yes, but the last time that I was here, we actually talked about time.
Mm.
And I was telling you, no, like, I can do it all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I finally reached the point where, like, everything is starting to take a back burner to my music, you know? Yes, I'm still doing it, and I will always do it, but as long as I have time for it. So now I just make sure that I do things that make sense.
Right.
So the longevity is there.
Gotcha. But then at the same time, I'm sure with practice, you have got more efficient that you're able to pick the ones that you can benefit more. And the same thing for the brand,
mm-hmm.
not just like pitch different ones and just get the most, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty dope. That's pretty good. And Forever Saucy, how are they doing? How's the team and everything? If Forever Saucy, by the way, is the... give me one second. What I said. It's a group of individuals that you focus on bringing a great presentation as far as the videos for DFW artists. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So how is that doing?
We're good. We're still working with the same artists. I think that really took a lot of our time.
Mm-hmm.
But now I am trying to just get to a point where I'm just taking video clients and just like video, because getting into every project like that is a little hard.
A lot of time, very time consuming, first of all.
Yes. And I, like, half the time I'm a little more serious about it than the artist.
Yeah.
So the payoff is kind of, I don't know. Like, I don't want to just do a video for you and be like, okay.
So you want to be involved in addition to that because of the marketing and specialists.
I just want to do a project with people that are serious and I know they're going to do something with the project. Just like any engineer would, or any, you know, anybody that works, you know, on things like that. Like, they want to work with people that are going to do something with the product.
Do you think the problem is because maybe they don't know what needs to be done in order for them to work that particular video? They're in their mind, maybe they know they need to have a video. But that's all they know, because a lot of the time, the creative part and the artist, they just care to do the visual and
mm-hmm.
move on.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand the marketing. They don't understand the promoting part to it. Do you think maybe that's a problem with them?
Yes.
Yeah. And are you, because you like building leaders, are you implementing something that maybe they can help them with that they're willing to, of course, for the right amount, because it costs money for you to guide them through do that,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's their career at the end of the day. Is it something that you're, without taking too much time away from your music, is it something that you're trying to implement within the video shoot to include that, to make sure that they get the most for the video, the work of the video, and in addition, to make sure that it gets pushed out to as many people as possible, or not really?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that just comes with the part of it, though.
Okay.
Like, that part isn't time consuming. It's more... if I take the extra time to explain why you're doing such thing.
Got you. Okay, I got you. Okay, so now you are a recording artist mm-hmm. and have released music.
Yes.
So the last time we talked, I was like, I can't wait to hear it. And I play a lot of the times your songs. I've had it on repeat. Mm-hmm. Cloud Nine is one of them, and Lucky is the other one. And you have mm-hmm. another one getting ready, because couldn't remember what the third one was.
The name of it?
Yeah.
Retrieval.
Retrieval. Okay. So let's talk about the music part now. Tell me about it as far as your process to make a song, to get in the mood, to be in the studio, whether, I don't know if you pick the beat first, or I don't know if you write something down first and then mold it into the beat. How is your process to make music?
It just depends on like where I write it. But most of the time I like to listen to the beat in its entirety. Mm-hmm. I listen to the melody.
Gotcha.
And then that's when I just kind of go with it.
And then after that, you just, because when I was doing music for a little bit, when I talked to you about, I used to like the beat, and I'm not the only one that says it, I'm not crazy, mm-hmm. but the beat used to talk to me. Like I used to hear something that it would say, mm-hmm. and it would make sense to go with that part. Is that something kind of that you get whenever you're listening to it? Is that what you're looking for, to see what first comes into mind?
That is weird that you said it that way.
But it's true, right? For me at least.
But it's weird that you explained it that way. Uh-huh. Because I always told people, it's like, I just do things, and then, because I do a lot of different verses, right. and when one clicks, I'm like, trust me, I know that's what I'm supposed to say. Like, that's what is supposed to be said on that beat. Yep. Yeah.
So it does talk to you.
It does, yeah.
Not to sound crazy. I'm not making it sound crazy, but I'm just saying certain people
yes.
have that. And for a little while, I could pick up certain things that it wanted me to say, or it needed, that part needed to be said in the beat.
Yeah, it just feels right.
It feels right.
Yeah.
I don't know what it
like
is.
Like you just got it. Like it was like it clicked.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So as far as your idea of what the music industry should look like for your day, as far as the way that you structure your day for the music, how does that go? How is the day for you whenever you have studio time or whenever you're focusing on doing music?
Well, I try to get inspiration before, so like I'll try to get the vibe first.
Gotcha.
I'll chill for a second. I usually like try to invite like who I need to invite, you know, like Alexis. And we just wait, we just meet up before that. We wait and then we go to the studio. We're there for a while. So we get our little, our drinks and stuff to make ourselves comfortable. And then after a while we go eat and come back and do the same thing.
Yeah. Mm. That's like a whole day affair, or how many hours do you usually do?
When I'm there, it can turn into 8.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And how much work do y'all think y'all do within that time frame?
A lot, because a lot of components go into my song. And then I work with a engineer who loves to like put different things into it as I go. Mm-hmm. So we get like probably like a full song. So like ad-libs, harmonies to the ad-libs, the main one. Like
that's a lot. Pretty cool. Yeah, because you can hear some of the sounds. The right side, left ear, you can hear certain variations, certain things that you say in the melody, you can hear it. I was paying attention to the song. Like,
I'm glad. He puts a lot of like little like sound effects in there, and now that's something I'm kind of trying to carry with me as I record. I just want to do those little sound effects.
So the production part.
Yes.
You're kind of liking the production part as far as what effect is he using, what it's supposed to look like, how many stacks does he have in here, or why does he have me record it 5-6 times, mm-hmm. and the reason.
Yes, and we work very well. And one thing that he did say to me was, like, he loves how I take criticism.
Yeah.
Because he'll be like, I think you should do this or try this, and I'll just do it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So as far as the music industry itself, because I know you were fairly new at that time, you might have had an idea, you were not really diving in, you experienced with mm-hmm. recording videos for artists and a few other things, marketing, mm-hmm. but not really the actual music industry. So right now that you're in there, what is the downsides as far as what has opened your eyes to different things, what kind of sort of broke your heart, the way the music industry is? or you kind of sort of had an idea because you heard things, but now you're really realizing that that's what it is?
Yes.
Tell me.
That's literally what it is. I had a lot of people, you including, you know, included, that were just like, you know, like, but this is how it's going to be. Just don't be surprised, you know?
Yeah. Hello, we're jumping in just to let you know to make sure you subscribe and hit the notification. If you are enjoying the podcast, thank you very much. And now, back to the episode.
I don't think the world right now is set up for artists to succeed. I know it looks like it, but in the local area, everybody is so, like, wishy-washy. And it's like, they'll try to work with you because they see something in you or they want to get something. It's like, it sucks because it's a lot of money. So, like, you really do need a lot of money. I don't want to say, like, a lot of money, but a lot of money goes into everything. Like, your cover art, your releasing it, how you release it, your videos, your visuals. And that's just one song, you know? So, I think people try to skip that. Like, the people that are, you know, local, like, they'll try to find a way to get what they want without really paying.
I can agree.
And it sucks because you lose respect and, like, it doesn't create that collaborate. You don't create the want to collaborate.
Yep. Do you see what I was talking about? The time whenever there was a lot of movements of unity that attempted to happen, but you can see the reason why it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a money issue. It really is. Like, I'm not trying to discourage nobody's dream, right? Dream and go for it. But if you don't even have the money, get creative. But at the same time, don't try to screw somebody else to trying to get ahead. You know, because a lot of the times, it does take footwork, right? Do what you can, whatever, until you get certain funds that you can put into those artwork, the freaking cover for a single, a mixtape, whatever you want to push. And then get the funds situated for a video or get creative or something without having to screw somebody else. And then there's a lot of gassing up that is unnecessary, but there's really nothing behind there. There's smoke screens. There's really a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I told you this, but there was a TikTok that I heard of why the reggaetoneros like are in the position that they are, right? There was a lot of collaborating amongst each other. Okay, so you're Angie Paola, right? You're a brand now, right? So you can say that you're a business. You're an entity in itself, right? You're like a Walmart or whatever. And then you have another person. It could be like a whatever, another, even if it's another distributor like Target or whatever the case might be, right? And if for whatever reason they find some mutual ground they can work together and build, like they wouldn't see the person, they would see the business entity to make themselves come together and grow. So the TikTok was saying that a lot of reggaetoneros were, even though some of them didn't see eye to eye, they were still like, I got a single, jump on the single. And they wouldn't hesitate. Of course, you're going to get paid in the back end, but you'll put together and make a song and they'll be on this remix, that remix. And they did that for years to where now it's like, even though they might not need to anymore, but their numbers are so stupid, crazy good because they worked on the music, their craft, and then they saw it as a business opportunity to mix with the other person to present their art to their people, and then they did the same thing for the other guy. Like, if I have a song, I'll bring you in, you work on my song, we do the remix. I'll turn around, I have a song, I'll put you on the remix.
And
they just kept it going forever and a day, and it makes sense.
That's smart.
So, and again, but a lot of the times the money's not there. You're trying to get ahead of other people's work. And then at the end of the day, it's all hot air. You don't do any work and you don't collaborate with nobody, and there's nothing. There's a lot of talk, but not enough actions.
Absolutely.
So I respect the artists that keep focusing, and a lot of the times they kind of sort of don't want to because they've been through that. They've been through those trenches of having to deal with all those individuals. They saw that. And it's a weird feeling to know that. Like, you're feeling right now like, oh, man, I can't believe. Like, I lost respect for you because I thought you were really doing something, but to know that you weren't really doing nothing.
Right.
But that's also part of the game too, unfortunately. Because a lot of the people now, I was telling somebody before that deals with music artists, it's not necessarily that, even if you are not so good at the music, right? But you have to create an image to make people believe that you are that good so they can go and listen to your records by the visuals, by your presentation, by everything. And once they see that you're doing that, they'll be believers to want to check out your music.
Yep.
But if you don't have that going on, then maybe the music industry is not for you.
Yep.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I know it's a dream of people, but I mean, you have to be realistic.
Yeah.
But what has been the positive things about the music experience as far as what you have done so far?
Finding people that are just as excited about music as I am. Finding talented people, entering different rooms. I got a lot after I dropped my first song. A lot of people wanted to make songs. Like everyone was just like sending me their song, and I was like, I got to do mine.
That's dope. But were you able to collaborate with anything? Is there anything in the that we're looking forward to seeing? Maybe are you still building your foundation for you right now?
So I'm recording my album, and I am bringing more locals in. Maybe even people that, you know, aren't, like, releasing music like that. I have some, like, islandy vibes going on right now. And I'm working with a couple of Tongans that I went to school with.
That's dope.
Yes. And we're just trying to make music. I have some local rappers. Yeah.
I like independent artist title better than the local rappers because it sounds funny to me. I always, well, even when I did my radio show,
it's like how else would you say like DFW?
Independent DFW artist, because they're kind of independent for.
Okay, independent DFW
artist. I'm just saying for me, I like that term even then because I didn't want to belittle them for me to have them bring in to my show that I had. And then I wanted to eliminate that to say they're local. Like, most of them were independent and they were, you know, doing.
But what about local, like, makes you think small?
I don't know. It just makes you think. For me, it did. It makes me think like it was too small. That, like, whenever the third radios and everything hear that term, it kind of turns them away and they're more, become more regional. That when I took that away, they're just independent artists. Maybe they're from anywhere in the DFW, but they're independent doing whatever they're doing. And I feel like maybe if I keep using it long enough, that the radios would stop kind of treating them in that manner too.
That's smart. Realize that
they were not just local, because whenever they say the local, I know it doesn't sound like that, but for me it did. It sounded like you were putting them right here and you were not letting them elevate. And now again, that's just my perspective. What I thought about it at that time and even to this day, I just call them that. Because majority of them are until they take off and do bigger things. But some of y'all independent artists be thinking that y'all haven't made yet and y'all haven't paved the way yet. So keep working. You're not there yet. Don't catch no attitude. but that was just for me though.
But that's smart. That's actually a good take.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the songs. How did Cloud9 come to be? I love the jam, by the way. I was playing it earlier yesterday and I was playing it again today. You know, just getting prepared. Get in on that. How did that come to be? How did that song?
My engineer, I was there to make music, and he was like, let's just make one from scratch. Like, I want you to see what a session with me in full would look like. And he was just putting so many elements into a song, and he was like, just write, just sit there and write. He put the beat on loop as he was working on it. And I was just trying to write what I was going through at the time.
So that was based off experiences at that time that you had. And that's how the lyrics came to be.
Yeah, like, you only call me when it's late type thing. That's what you tell me anyway. I hear that a lot.
But that, so you heard the beat first. Is that what attracted you to wanted to do that song, or was he playing different beats and there's like, oh, that's the one?
No, he was just creating it and that's what came out.
So it's straight up from scratch.
Straight scratch.
And then
straight, like, like Scott.
So did you come up with that part first and then they started building around that song?
He took a guitar.
Uh-huh.
He sat down, played a bunch of different chords, just different loops.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I like that. And he just kept going. And then he put it into the computer.
You know what's crazy? It didn't even sound like a guitar for a little while. It doesn't sound like a guitar. Not that you mentioned I can see related to the mm-hmm. guitar, but you can't, at least for me off the bat, I didn't think that it was a guitar.
Yeah, no. And he had to remember, like, I have, it's cool because, okay, like, he took my phone and put it on a voice memo. What? To remember it so he didn't forget. And he was like, I don't have my phone. My phone isn't working. Can I have yours? I was like, sure. So he recorded it, and the recording is what he put into the thing. So I actually have the voice memo on my phone of the guitar riff that he actually plugged into the computer.
And that's how he used to make the beat off, reference that mm-hmm. your phone. And mm-hmm. that's why it sounds
the riff is
does.
In the beat.
That's why it sounds the way it sounds, because he took it from there.
Mm-hmm.
That's freaking crazy. He's good.
He's amazing.
He's very talented. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. And then after that, you started thinking about things that were happening to you, may or might not happen to you at that time. And
I was venting.
And then you were just going in. That's dope. And then was it something that you, did you write the whole? So he did all the most of production, right? Well, mm-hmm. did y'all co-write the song, or was it mostly just you, your things?
It's definitely mostly me. Mm-hmm. There's probably like like two words in there that he was like, maybe try this. But yeah, it was just me.
So it was you and somebody else on the song, right? There's somebody else's name on it too? Mm-hmm. Or was it just you?
Pop Riff is the engineer okay. and the producer.
I got you. Mm-hmm. I got you. I like it. I like it a lot. Okay, so what would you say that for you, your genre is the type of music? Because I know when you started, you maybe wanted to go a little bit of the maybe hit reggaeton,
mm-hmm.
but maybe. We talked about maybe doing maybe bilingual, but then right now it's kind of something different. So what would you call the genre or the sound, or what would it be?
I'm really struggling with that. I'm not going to lie.
Because I know you have thrown a little bit of pop.
Cloud9 is pop. It's a pop song.
Pop song.
Pop Riff is really good at making pop songs.
Pop Riff, pop
yeah.
song.
Yeah. But now I have like a little more of like a R&B hip hop style going on. It's like I really do on my songs put like R&B and hip hop. But on my album, like I have the Spanish going, like coming. Like I have an artist who's dominating right now, and he's just pure Spanish, doesn't speak any English. Like we're getting the Spanish out there too. So it's hard to just really say.
Yeah.
But R&B and hip hop definitely, I guess. Alternative R&B sometimes.
Okay, so I think it's just by default that you have to go through that to try to kind of find yourself as far as what is it that, you know, is going to be working more for the masses.
But that's like my, well, I do understand.
Yeah.
It's my flow and style.
Gotcha.
That is like that. Like my cadence, my flow changes based on the beat, but it's because I'm musically inclined to R&B, hip hop, and you know, alternative a little bit.
Yeah, I like the way it's going. I mean, I know it's still kind of a little bit of foundation for your sound, but and then yeah, still playing around with, but it, mm-hmm. it sounds good.
Yeah,
I like the sound. I really like that song. I really did. I'm probably gonna jam it on my way wherever I'm going, but it's good. What about Lucky? How did that come about? The production, the writing, and everything on it?
Lucky came about because the producer that worked on those songs sent me a bunch of beats, and he was tired of me not doing anything with them. So
you not doing anything?
Mm-hmm.
Let me find out you're procrastinating. I feel you.
It was a lot, you know? So I was like, I feel you. I'll get on it. I got in the car and I was just driving, and that's where I said I'd be riding through the city because I got to get it. I was really riding through the city, getting it. So I just rode in the car.
So right now you're finding yourself that, I mean, it makes sense, right, to write about your experiences,
cause mm-hmm.
it means, but it's pretty cool that you can take your experiences and make them into a song and or, you know, part of the song is the things that you have lived in every day. Because I think that's what makes great artists, right? Not only storytelling, but like being able to take a, let's say a regular day or things that happen eventfully that you can put them in a song and be like, it's just, I wasn't just driving in my car. I was driving in my car getting it, you know? So it's pretty badass. Okay. Redemption?
Is that
Retrieval. My bad. How is that one? When is it coming out?
It comes out the 29th of December.
Okay, let's go back to Cloud Nine. Why Cloud Nine? The title of that song. Why?
Because I felt like the way I wrote it, I felt like I was on Cloud Nine just kind of looking down. I know it sounds bad, but like down on people because that's the place I was at. So I was just like, I was talking about a guy and I was just like, you make me feel so small. Well, this is what I'm going to say when I'm like big, like I'm overlooking.
Cloud,
yeah,
there.
Pretty much like this is how I see things. And like I have, excuse me, but like I have the balls to say it now. Like, so I felt like I was, you know, there and I was also on Cloud Nine. So.
And the whole, everything, the artwork, you know, everything that y'all did with it, even the, I think on Spotify, where it has the moving clouds and everything, is freaking.
And then
the color scheme of the whole thing is very dreamy, like, and it's pretty good. And how is that visual? Are you doing a visual for it?
I want to do a music video to it. However, I'm kind of seeing where my numbers are going.
Yeah.
And a lot of people really like Lucky more than Cloud Nine.
I got you.
I think Lucky's a little more relatable on what's hot right now. I don't know.
How did that title for Lucky come about?
Well, the song, believe it or not, is like mocking when people say like, oh, guess she's just lucky. Like, you know, she didn't have to work to get there. Yeah. So I just titled it Lucky.
That's true, right? Because like, I used to be the one to say, must be nice.
Yeah.
But it is nice because if you did the work, you should benefit of whatever is it, you know? And it didn't come from a nice place when I said it at that time, when I was saying it. So I see what you mean. A lot of the people, like, just see the Instagram picture or see the song now made, but they didn't know what you had to go through. They didn't know that this song, Cloud Nine, was from scratch. They didn't know that you were lucky, were a little bit of procrastination going on, but, you know, you took it and made a freaking song out of it, right? And now they see the finished package or the finished product, but it wasn't, there was nothing at one time.
Yeah.
Until there was something.
Yeah.
Okay, so when is Retrieval coming out?
The 29th.
Of?
December.
December. And what are we expecting to hear on that one? I pre-saved it. Well, I don't think there was even a preview or anything. I don't think there was nothing. Nothing.
No, yeah, it's just a little vibe. I like to make songs that you can just kind of relate to and just kind of be like, oh, like her voice. It's like mellow. So it's like the last song before my album. So yeah, it's just me venting again.
Yeah. And the title, Retrieval?
Just me coming and taking what I'm here to take. You know?
So you're taking it and it's...
Yeah. Talks about, like, I'm just, you know, like, I'm surrounded by good people. It talks about just why I am the way I am, like, what I like. It's a little more about me.
Okay, so these three songs are separate from what you have working on the album, or are they going to be part of the album?
No, Cloud Nine is the only one. It's track number two on the album, and it's the only one, only because Cloud Nine is a little more songy. The album is a little more songy. Those have like the real songs that like are songs.
Okay, so where are you at as far as percentage wise to finishing the entire album?
Oh wow! Why did you ask that?
It wasn't know where you were at, right?
I would say like a good like 50%, but only because I am very picky. Believe it or not, I only had a month to get this down, to write all these songs and record them and get them out for an album, because my engineer is supposed to be moving to LA.
For real?
Yes. And he was like, you should just come every week you know, it's in the hills. Like, I think you of all people should meet the people that I'm going to be around. And I was like, I can't just keep flying to LA. Like, so me being impatient, like the impatient person I am, I was like, okay, I'm going to write a 10-song album and we're going to get it done in like a month and we're going to push it and all this stuff. Yeah, no, it didn't go that way.
So he's gone already?
Mm-mm.
I think
I have till about the end of January, February.
But everything's already recorded and everything.
No.
So you're still working on that?
I've been creating demos in my room every day because I want to like the songs. So I'm just writing every day so I can just pick the 10. The demos are recorded. The studio version isn't.
Gotcha. Okay, but at least you have... First of all, congratulations for you having a song recorded, through two songs now, and a third one in the chamber ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations, because when you came months ago, you didn't have a song done. And now, on all platforms, is out, and it's jamming.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no doubt that you're going to. You do have apparently your engineer thinks that you have a procrastination problem. And all of us can do better. But the fact that you already have some songs out, there's a lot of artists that don't get songs put out ever. And the look itself. And the fact that you even got the lyrics to go with it.
Everything has to be.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Including that. How did that process go to do the, I think one of the Genius lyrics one, and then the other one was on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure out how to do all that?
Yeah, they're both on Genius. My brother actually takes the time to learn all of this. And when I release it, he like syncs the lyrics and he puts it on Genius and like he does all of it for me.
Yeah, that's pretty dope because, again, a lot of people don't release a song and even know how to or even go about or take the time to look into the things that you need to help you, you know, because a lot of the people love to see those things or what are they saying or what you say or, you know, because sometimes you have to play with the words to make it fit what you got going on, but that at that time you can see it. This is what she said. I'm like, oh, I see what she
and
did.
I told you I was gonna come in serious.
Yeah,
like I did. Like I was.
My bad, you showed me.
I did.
Come on, shut up.
I did, and you were like, you know, everybody's got to start. But that's what I meant. Like my package is there. My visuals, they're gonna be there. You know.
Yeah, I'm proud of you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Like I didn't mean it in that way. I mean,
no, you,
I meant
you
to
inspired me.
Not only that, but I just know that it's doable if you put an effort to do things and get them out and done. And I'm super proud that you were able to do them. It wasn't the intention of... I'm glad I inspire you. I don't mean to inspire people, but I'm glad that... I'm just wanting to know that you got that in there, you know? That a lot of us have a lot of things. That's why I get funny with celebrities, how everybody worships this celebrities like brainless. Like, do y'all know that you put the effort into? Y'all can be just as good or better than them if y'all want to. But people choose not to. People choose to be the fan of whoever. I don't even like that word. I like people that support. And I'm glad that you are, like, know that you have that and that you can, it can come out, you know, and you can have songs. I'm just saying, it's there. And you're bringing it out and it's pretty freaking cool. Pretty awesome. Okay. So, album's coming. It's in the works. 50%. There's a lot of work still to be done, but I don't doubt. Just like the other songs that came to life, that you'll have them here. So awesome.
So
you do want to do the visuals with how many of the songs of the album, or you still want to make sure you complete the album first before stuff?
Yes. Once the album comes out, I think month to month, I'll start dropping little, you know, things so we can, you know, refresh everybody's memory. And I think, like, people, they listen to albums differently. You have the people that listen to it, like, one track all the way down to the last one. You know, you have people that, like a few, and then later on, they'll go back and they like different songs. And, you know, it like, sounds different. So, yeah, I definitely want to just, this 2023... It's gonna be all about that one album.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, and any time estimated, kind of, sort of, where you can possibly maybe see the album out?
I'm hoping the end of March. It's like my goal.
The end of March. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work, but don't put too much crazy pressure on you. But again, it's good that, you know, minimum to have an idea mm-hmm. what you want to shoot for. So that way, you know, you can get it out. But that's pretty cool. Awesome. Angie Paula, the artist in the house. What? Get out of here. That is freaking amazing. Okay, what else have you enjoyed about the whole music journey?
I didn't think I had to be that real with my feelings. It's been really weird because now I already wrote the songs kind of about me, and now the real songs are coming out, real feelings. And I didn't think I was like ready for that.
Where did you, I think it's difficult because you're very business oriented. You don't like to drop the wall and, you know, and I'm the same way. A lot of people know that I do this. That's all you need to know about.
Right.
But it's different from artists, right? Because sometimes you have to show being vulnerable, especially being younger and having, you know, people bully you to now having to do something. But it's different as adults, right? People are, even though people are weird on the internet that we talked about last time, but at the end of the day, you still have to fulfill your truth. Where are you, how you're tapping into those feelings or and being okay with it to go out?
I read a lot of books, psychology or like self-help books, trauma books that help with trauma. And then I combine what I read with my writing lesson.
Yeah.
And it just magic.
Yeah. A lot of us need a lot of work still, like self-work, and it comes in different forms. A lot of artists that I talk to, they find it therapeutic to do music. Mm-hmm. They find it very therapeutic to be able to do songs because it helps them get stuff out that they have to work through. They may be talking to a counselor or whatever. Maybe they don't, that's not their way, but doing it through creating a song, it helps. Have you finding yourself to be that therapeutic as far as creating a song or being able to channel those feelings through that way?
Yes. And it helps me trust myself and what I feel.
Yeah.
It's almost like you have like these feelings, right? But when you see them on paper, you write them down. It's like, oh, you really process it. When you sing it and you write it down, it helps you process it. So it's like, no, this is your truth, you know? So it's nice.
So it's helping you come more from the heart because, you know, this is who you are.
Yes. And it's just weird because when you grow up wanting connection and then all of a sudden you're the one that has to provide connection, it's really weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're going based off of what you think connection is.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, with all the reading that you've been doing, it helped. Helping you because the connection can be different ways, right? Mm-hmm. But being relatable is a different story, and it's all part of it. And then people start seeing, like, we never know who's going through what unless we say something, and all of a sudden you find those people that are going through the same thing you're going, and they're happy. I think people were happy that you were able to share on our first podcast who you are or things that you were going to be able to get that. And the same thing now with the music, like if you don't do that, then you will never know that those people are there and they're waiting to hear something or waiting to see somebody that they're able to be inspired to be able to come out and say certain things. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool. My stomach's growling. Mm-hmm. I'm hungry. But it's pretty cool, though. Again, I can't congratulate you enough that you got those songs out and then that you're, you know, becoming a better person. Not that you were not great, but you're diving into something deeper, and that's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. From the first time you came here to now, it's just, and working with you, it's freaking awesome. You're an awesome person. All right, so we're running short on time. However, tell me once again when the song's coming out.
December 29th.
Retrieval, December 29th. Yes. I think we're going to release the episode after, however, I will put the link on it if you send me the link.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we can make sure. Tell me all your social media, everything you have going on. And when are you planning to start doing performances? Because it's hard here locally, but I don't know if you already started to begin working, even if you're practicing in your room,
mm-hmm.
but that's a lot of where the money's at, and merch.
Merch is coming.
Yeah.
Performances, that's a whole nother thing that I have to get into.
It's kind of, well, they kind of go together.
I know, but the thing is, I have a lot of connections, and sometimes, like, for a rap artist, I don't want to go to the venues they're going to, or like, you know, the events they're going to. Nah. So it's I just got to find my way. But definitely I've been, you know, asking questions and getting my way in there.
There's I don't know if you have any people that do dancing or performance or how to, you know, project people. But I know people, if you have any somebody that, you know, they work with talent to be able to sharpen those things.
Okay.
And then make sure you get your cardio in really good, because you're going to need lungs to perform. You'll be surprised how many of these artists don't think that breathing or delivering things like the way that you're supposed to, and having command on the stage is a skill in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, eventually, once you get more known, the performers are going to call. So you want to make sure you put a great show.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm not telling you what to do. Do you?
No, definitely.
But just know that when they start booking you, you're going to have to deliver. And the merch. Cause
I mean, I deliver.
Money on the merch. Man, don't miss out. You have people that run your table. Run up those numbers. Send them Angel Paola shirts or whatever. I can't wait for the merch, first of all, because y'all already super creative as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait to see whatever y'all come with. I want first dibs on the merchandise that I get out. If I see somebody else with the merchandise that I don't have it first, we're going to have to.
You'll be the first one.
We're going to have to, you know, talk
outside
the podcast. All right. All your social media, where can they find you at? Where can they find your music, everything?
You can find my music on all streaming platforms under the name Angie Paola. You can look up Cloud9 or Lucky. They're also on TikTok. You can use it on TikTok.
Yep.
And then at Angie Paola with two A's in the beginning and two A's at the end for Instagram. I'm Angie Paola for TikTok. That's it.
Are the sounds also on TikTok and Instagram Reels and all that?
They're on Instagram. Yeah. Yes. Snapchat.
Use the sounds. Mm-hmm. Go find it. Go use it. I'm gonna use it right
support,
now.
Support. You know. Support.
Okay. So tell me a lesson that you learn now about the music business that you would tell your younger self, which when you started, that would help somebody else. Now that you know.
I would say that you can't skip any phases. I think a lot of people come into it thinking like, no, I'm different. I have a vision for myself. I'm going to make songs. I know how to promote this and that. But then like the real world happens and you're actually doing it. And you're like, oh, like, well, you didn't go viral. You didn't do this. And you can't just drop a song and then just think that your numbers are going to be great, you know, or you can't just think like your vision is good. And like, I don't know, there's just like a lot of pieces. And I feel like people just go in there without wanting to start from the bottom. Like, I'm going to have to grind. If you go in there with that mentality that you have to grind, then.
Yeah. I think a lot of artists have the, they already see all the other bigger artists doing it, thinking they just pop like that. But they don't realize they had years and years and years of rejection, of working on their craft, recording, getting that down, being able to perform, being able to connect the, so a lot of them have the misconception that you need to run before you learn to crawl.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be able to learn how to crawl, get those down, get those 10,000 hours for mastery, supposedly, which it makes sense if you do, you know, repetitive things for a long time, it becomes muscle memory. And, you know, like I'm pretty sure when you started recording to where you're at now, as far as when you go back to recording, it's two different people, because you know the things that where you need to stand, how you need to do this. And they have just the vision of the Instagram of going viral. And we talked about it last time. Even if you happen to go viral, maybe you make it, but how long is your catalog, or you don't even have a catalog?
That catalog is so important. And even I think like people don't like, if you're not like Beyonce or like, I feel like people only think those things apply to her.
Yeah.
Like, no, you have to do it. Like
her, she's still whenever she drops a new project, like all the other songs still getting traction.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like by accident. Like, of course, you want to focus on this project, but by default, all the other songs are going to get traction too.
Yeah.
And then she's going to get spins off of those and she's going to get paid off of those. I mean, they're all connected once you get everything out.
Yeah.
Like, if you go viral for one song and maybe you don't have anything more, like we talked about. And maybe the record label does sign you,
mm-hmm.
but maybe they just want to shelve you to just get you out the way
mm-hmm.
for that one song. Or maybe they do work on you, but they just happen to be that's all you had. You didn't have nothing more. You don't have a independent catalog of yours. Like if you go big now and if you don't sign to the songs that you had,
mm-hmm.
Cloud9 and Lucky, they're yours to feed on for whenever, you know?
Yeah.
But if you don't have that, you can't even feed off of those. That one song,
exactly.
And that's it. And there's nothing more for you.
Yeah.
And that's pretty sad. You're going to have to back at McDonald's, looking at burgers, or whatever. Yeah. Shout out to McDonald's, by the way. I'm just saying. But like, you have to be able to do all those steps to get there
mm-hmm.
before you're able to do that. You can't skip steps. You have to go through them.
And out of one album, like how many songs do people really like? You know what
That's
I mean?
True.
So that means you have a lot of songs to just create and show who you are.
Yeah. Not to mention some albums that might not do great.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it's their favorite album or their favorite song too.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So this one is a little bit more deep, more feelings, but I think it's pretty important. And it's because of something that I say every morning. I'm not immortal. I am mortal and I will die one day. At your funeral, what do you want people to feel about your life?
Ooh. Oh, my God. That I cared.
That you cared.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So from when we first met to do your interview to where I was actually rambling a lot more than I should have, to like sharing your story, sharing how vulnerable you are and telling us your story and being able to, you know, tell people your journey from Cartagena to here, you know, having to go through struggle with your moms to, you know, going into doing the aviation to being forgetting about that, to taking a leap of faith, to doing your own, having your own companies, and now to being a music artist, recording music artist, independent. Man, you definitely are a global Latin factor, Angie. So
thank you.
Congratulations. You are a global Latin factor. One last question, for real this time. If somebody, we asked this before, I think, but I think we'll ask it again now. Maybe it changed from the last time. If somebody was to Google you or search you in some kind of search engine many years from now, what do you hope for them to find about you?
That I'm your new favorite artist.
Oh, watcha. There you have it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. This was another episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast. Subscribe to the channel. Smash the bell notification so you can know. Subscribe to the channel again. And remember, we are just like you. We are the spice in this melting pot that is the world. Till next time. Thank you. Thank you very much for checking out another episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast. Subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to the channel. Thank you very much. It helps us a lot. You're already here, so give us a like. Give us a subscribe and give us a comment. We appreciate you very much. Thank you. Pero but in fact it's a flamingo. Coming to Havana, entry from Puerto Rico. On a pirate ship, you don't know where do we go. The birds of the jungle chasing